where did you go? Sir Robert and Louie and Mike, if you can pass out a bulletin to everyone that doesn't have a bulletin, that would be helpful. The verses are on the back side of the bulletin. Psalm 120, please, and we can stand. If you do not have a bulletin, raise your hand, please. Psalm 120. All right, everybody is ready. We're going to read the entire psalm. For most of you that haven't been here in Sunday school or Sunday night, so everyone knows, I am going to start speaking this morning on what are called pilgrim psalms. These are psalms that the King James translates correctly, but not helpfully, songs of degrees. The ESV says songs of ascents. That doesn't help either. The Hebrew word simply means this, stepping up, with the idea being is Jewish believers from all around the world in the diaspora would come back to Jerusalem. And as they came back to Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms. These are called pilgrim psalms. Probably the priest also sang them on the holy days when people came back, so it was kind of a dual-sided thing. So you're going to see, I'm going to speak on this morning, the journey begins. This is the first one of the Psalms out of 15. It's a collection. Obviously, you understand a collection. It's a collection in the book of Psalms for pilgrims coming back. So the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, people were from all over the world. They had come back from one of the feasts that the Jewish believer was to come to. Pentecost was one. Unleavened bread and Passover was one. Pentecost was one. And at the end of the year, the feast of the Tabernacles, and also Rosh Hashanah, that whole ending, they came for those three feasts. All right, verse 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty, and with coals, the King James says, of juniper. Some other, it's a hard word in Hebrew. Some texts say broom tree, which doesn't help me either. Then it goes on to say, woe is me, that I sojourn. Sojourn is different than dwelling, but I have my residence, at least at some times, in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, or I'm about peace, but when I speak, they are for war. This morning, I'm going to speak on The Journey Begins, because this is the first psalm they would have begun with. And I'm going to deal with the beginning of the journey. I hope this is helpful. Trust me, you hang around for a minute. If you're saved, you're going to pick up on some things that will help you. And let me say this. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, the first point is 100% for you. Because there is no journey apart from a relationship with God through Christ. We're going to talk about The Journey Begins this morning. Father, thank you for this privilege of looking at these texts. Lord, as I've thought about and meditated and read so many times and read books and studied, and this motif of the journey, some of us do very well for 15 minutes. It's just that long-term journey. Now, we're not actually literally going to Jerusalem today, even though we believe one day the Lord Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem as center of the world. We believe there will be a Davidic kingdom, and the ultimate Davidic king will rule and reign. And we look forward to that day. Until then, we're in a journey. We're on a journey, and we have text to help us along the way. Help me to speak clearly today, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Anytime you go out of the country, you have to prepare for the journey. I'm assuming you know that. You don't usually wake up the morning you're going to get on the airplane and say, oh, I need to pack. If you do, you'll find yourself in another country without the proper clothing, shoes, etc. And I want to say this. I am fairly good at going out of the country. I am worse at short trips in the country. I don't know what year it was. I don't even remember what graduation it was. But Amy, either her bachelor's or her master's at BJ, we were going down for the graduation, Jenny and I. So I packed. But remember, I'm not real, I don't do the diligence for a short-term pack because, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, there's a Walmart there. Surely I can find what I need. You know, if I need a razor, you know, I can go to Walmart if I need, you know, you always think that. Well, I packed, got everything ready. We were going to be there 2 or 3 days. I knew the one day when we went to graduation, I needed to bring, so I packed a white shirt, black pants, black shoes, black socks, black belt, and a sports coat and a tie. That's the only thing I was worried about. Everything was good. We drove from here to Greenville, South Carolina, which is a pretty long trip. Again, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if I don't have something small, I just go to Walmart. You know, you can get it any place. There's always a Walmart. If you, by the way, this is how you know, Tico, in America, if you're what your city is like. There's got to be a Walmart close. You know how many Walmarts we have here? We have one in Zion. It's about 10, 12 minutes north. We have one in Antioch, probably 15, 20 minutes west. We have one, not Antioch, yeah, and one in Gurnee, about the same length. We have one just south. We have Walmarts all around us. Well, we get to South Carolina, get to Greenville. We have fun. We do whatever we do, and it's the day of graduation. So I get up, I shave, I do all the normal stuff, and I have everything I need. I pull down my suit coat, which, I had my, not suit coat, it was a, sports coat. I had my white shirt, I had my pants, belt, everything was there. Pulled it off, had everything ready. Put on my socks, put my shoes there, put on my shirt. I then put on my, I was seated, pulled on my pants, and I noticed something didn't feel right. See, my wife, I don't know why she was evil like this, but she bought some pants that were of the shrinking variety. So I pulled on those pants, and I thought, boy, those are weird. They're tight. But I thought, no big deal. So I put my shoes on, tied my string, stood up, and I could get the pants up. But no amount of massaging my stomach could get those pants buttoned. And it's Amy's graduation. I'm starting to panic. I don't know what to, now I'm like, what did I do? I know what I did. I packed in the dark, and in those days, I probably had a pair of pants that somebody else had worn sometime in the past, set over in part of my closet, and it was dark. I put them out, pulled them down because they were clean. All I know is, friends, I'm going to embarrass myself a little bit, but this is what I could do. As I pull those pants tight, I could get them zipped up, but there's no way on God's green earth that I could get them buttoned. So I took a belt, tied the belt as tight as I could, put a coat on, buttoned the coat, and hope nobody ever asked. By the way, don't laugh about this. It could have been worse. I could have gone to Amy's graduation from her either college or master's degree in a pair of blue jeans, with my white shirt and my tie and my jacket. But you say, why do you tell that story? Look at me, friend. You have to prepare for the journey. The first psalm is really the preparation psalm. It's kind of where you begin. So if you want to read with me again, we're going to start. This is very simple this morning. This text is very profound in some simple ways. The journey begins. Verse 1, it's in your bulletin. It says this. The psalmist says, in my distress. But this is before the journey. In my distress, meaning in the past. In the past, I had distressing circumstances. I cried unto the Lord, and what? He heard me. I say in your notes, prayer is the basis of the journey. It's kind of like the foundation of the entire concept of a journey. I want to say some things, but I want to be careful because, friend, please look at me. Do you realize lots of religions pray? I asked you a question. Do you realize that? Can I say this? I have found some religions pray more than true Christians. They do very much. So I'm not wanting this morning, I don't think the foundation of the journey, the basis of the journey, is formal prayer necessarily. And I don't even think primarily there's something even before what I would consider your daily times of prayer, whether that's in the morning or at night or both, or morning, noon, and night, however you work your, organize your prayer life. There is something that precedes this. So let me say it this way. The psalmist is talking about that we pray, yes, and that God has answered his prayer, yes, but before that is that we can pray. So when I say prayer is the basis of the journey, I'm really referring not to words, not to a form, not reading a prayer list. I'm talking about that you actually have a relationship with the living God through his son, Jesus Christ. You're born again. You're born into his family. You are saved. You have that access to God. That's where we begin. So not so much formal prayer or certain prayer times, but that we begin with the basis of all the journey, which is a relationship with God through Christ. Do you have your Bibles? Look at Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1 and 2. I'm going to look at just a couple of verses. I wish I'd had time to put all these in the notes, but I didn't. Friends, I have been a pastor a long time. Do you know that? You know, I've been around Christians a long time. Do you know that? So I want everybody to look at me. I don't know every single person here this morning well. Look at me. Sometimes we come to church. Tico, you were saying in Ukraine you were worried that they were coming because they were getting food. Correct? Can I say this? In America, sometimes people come to a church because they like somebody at church. They have a boyfriend at church, a girlfriend at church, or they like the culture or the... You will not survive without a real relationship with God. When I say prayer is the basis of the journey, I'm not referring to whether that's Catholic or Baptist stuff. I'm talking about, do you have an actual relationship with the Lord? Romans 5:2, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church, says, therefore being justified or having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, wonderful text, but not time for that this morning. Verse 2, by whom? By Christ, by whom also we have access. What does it say? We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Friend, the journey begins. Yes, it's a beautiful thing to pray. It's beautiful. But that's not the important part. That you can pray. That you have come to Christ in simple faith, turning from your sins, turning to Christ. He has saved you by his grace and given you access to the Father. My friend, that's the real basis of the journey. So let's say it very simple. this ain't my first rodeo. How does a person sit in this church for 5, 10, and 15 years? I'm asking you a question. And leave this church and move to another area and never attend a church again. Because they were confusing, look at me, the relationship with God for the people. Maybe you like Louis Heras's jokes. Does anybody like, no. Maybe you like Cliff's jokes. They're worse than Louis. By the way, I love their jokes. I love their humor. But may I say this? I didn't become a Christian because of Cliff or Louis. And Cliff or Louis will not keep you in a church. What will keep you in a church and keep you on the journey is that you have access to God. And therefore, hear me, and therefore you can pray and He can answer your prayers. Prayer, not so much words or forms or motions, but the concept of having access to God is the very basis of moving forward. So here we are, 2023. We move forward 20 more years. Where are you at? It's all going to come back to, did you actually understand the basis of this journey with God starts with a relationship with God? Not only that I pray and that He answers my prayer, but that I can pray. Ephesians 2:18, please. Ephesians 2:18. A couple books over. We'll look at three verses quickly this morning. Ephesians 2:18. You should know this verse by heart. This is one of the great verses in the Bible. Paul says this, for through him, who's the him? Christ. And Christ alone, not a church, not a Baptist church, not a baptism. It's through Him, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access. We're back to that access word again. We have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Friends, look at me. If you were to say, what? I grew up in a little rural church, country church. Preaching was just okay. Thinking was okay, but they were godly people. This is what I learned. There's only one thing I got. The day I got saved at 9 years old, nobody told me, nobody prepared me. I got saved on a Sunday morning. I'd heard the gospel from a young age. I came to Christ. The only memories I have was not that I gave up drinking because I wasn't drinking at nine. I didn't give up smoking because I wasn't smoking. But I knew I was a sinner. I came to Christ. He saved me. In my greatest memory, I've said it many times, I'll say it till I die. Went home that night, went to bed. Do you remember where you were sleeping? I do. Two halves, my two sisters were on one side of the old farmhouse upstairs. We were on, my brother and I on the other side. His bed was over there. Mine was right next to the stairs that came up. There was a banister. My bed was lengthways there. I still remember climbing into bed, pulling up the sheets, lying on my back, and this is what I remember. Now I can pray. From that moment, look at me, friend, I had a relationship with God. Through all the twists and turns, look at me, through my sins, through my stupidity, through other people's stupidity, through people's arrogance, people's lies, all the stuff that happens in life, being betrayed, being harmed, being hurt, everything that happens. But see, it didn't start, can I say this? It didn't start with you. It started with Him. Prayer is the basis of the journey. If you don't have that, you're going to be one of those people that we love. Then all of a sudden people say, what happened to, and everybody goes, and this is what we do. Why don't they go to church? Why aren't they part of a church? Because the journey was about other things. Let me say this. I want to be very clear. If you're here because somebody's invited you, God bless you. If you're here because of your parents, God bless you. But friends, the thing that keeps you on the journey is you have a relationship with God. That's what keeps you on the journey. I can't fake that for you. I can't give that to you. Only God can do it. Notice what it says in verse 1. And I'll just touch on this. The psalmist says this, in my distress. So that we can pray, yes, And that we pray, yes, and that he answers. Those are the three parts of this first verse. In my distress. The word distress is a word. Can I use Old English? Tim, I love it when you're here because Old English, you know, most Americans don't get it either. There are two words for the word straight. Everybody knows in English. Straight meaning, that's the G-H-T word. But there's also a word that doesn't have the G-H-T in it. It's S-T-R-A-I-T. It doesn't mean, look up here, it doesn't mean this, it means this. Things are pressing in on you like this. The psalmist uses a word for distress that means I worked in Dyer, Indiana. Now I'm playing on English words terribly. Dyer, Indiana. We used to call it Dire Straits because I was using two words for dire. But it was this. This word is used in Isaiah 49:19 where it says, shall even now be too narrow for thee by reason of the inhabitants. It's like he was saying, I was in a place where I didn't have any place to go. And I prayed and the Lord heard me. It's used in 2 Kings 6:1. The sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight, too narrow for us, too closed in. We need a bigger place. My friend, the journey is the basis of that journey is prayer. Prayer, the basis of the journey. It's everything. It's that we can actually approach God. It is that we actually pray to God and that he hears us. Without this, I'm going to go to point two. Here's what's going to happen. I won't see you after a point. The reason you came or didn't come will disappear, and therefore you disappear. And I'm not talking about a location. I'm talking about as a Christian. Because, friends, the thing that keeps us on the path is that relationship with God. That I can pray. And that I do pray, and that he hears. That's the basis of the journey. That's what it is. Back in your bulletins, please, verse 2 and 3 and 4. So prayer, the basis of the journey. Point number 2 is simply this. Prayer begins the journey. Before he even steps out of his house, so to speak, he's already, prayer is the center. Prayer is the center. In verse 2, he says to the Lord, after he's just talked about what the Lord has done, that he already had this relationship with the Lord and that he had prayed before and the Lord had delivered him, that was past. Now we're talking right now, right as we're getting ready, so to speak, to start the journey. He says, Lord, deliver my soul, my life. By the way, my very essence. Deliver my soul, O Lord. And then he starts enumerating from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Then he prays on, and what he's basically doing is kind of asking God to take care of these people who are deceiving him, lying about him, those sorts of things. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? And then I think he's actually kind of praying that the Lord does something, sharp arrows of the mighty with the coals of the juniper. I don't know all that that means, but I'm pretty sure he's saying, Lord, you need to take care of them. Prayer is the basis of the journey. Secondly, prayer, I'm using the word slightly different now, the actual concept of praying begins the journey. We need to be delivered. We're barely out of the driveway, so to speak. I can just see the pilgrims as they gather. They're gathering together, but the very nature of going on this long pilgrimage means they're supposed to be believers. So the basis of it all is that life with God, that relationship. And as they begin to pray, and they pray for deliverance because the journey is going to have its own set of difficulties. We aren't out of the driveway, but we need God. We need God to deliver us. We need God to deliver us from lies and liars and deceit. We need God to deliver us from the pain that liars cause us. Yes, we do. We need God to deliver us and rescue us from the lies And we need God to take care, in this case, the liars or the opponents or whoever they are. He doesn't get specific. That's not the point. The point is that we always have these difficulties. So prayer is not only the foundation or the basis of the journey, it begins the journey. Friends, as a young man, when I was a member of this church as a young man, I had a very confused understanding of the Christian life. Back in those days, as a single man, here's Ralph Warren's life. I had quit all these things, but the only thing that was a big temptation to me was about four things. Alcohol, which had not been a temptation for a few years. Marijuana, which hadn't been a temptation for a few years. Should I say the third one? Or should I lie? What goes on in a male's mind? Men, what goes on in your mind? You know what I'm talking about. And number four, music. Those were the four big ones. I can remember sitting out here hearing preaching, and I remember many times thinking this. If I can just totally get over these, if I can just get beyond these four, music, what goes on in the mind and heart of a male, drinking and smoking pot, if I can get rid of these four things, this is Ralph Warren's belief, if I can get over those, whew, everything is good. Then I found out those weren't the problems. Now for the last 40 plus years, I've been dealing with the real problems. By the way, you never get to a place where you don't need the Lord. If you're going to go on this journey, it isn't like, I got saved, everything is great, I'm going to heaven, praise the Lord. That's nice religion. But the problem is, the moment you start moving forward, you start finding out it's like, Lord, deliver me. I got other problems, I got other difficulties, I got other scenarios. You see, prayer is the basis, meaning that we can pray. It's the beginning of the journey, and it's all about depending on God. So, 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of. But our sufficiency is of God. Do you not know the verse? 2 Corinthians 12:9, when the Apostle Paul, the Lord speaks to him and says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My friend, you never get away from needing God. This isn't about once saved, always saved, and go about your business. You're not going to survive. This is about you have a relationship with God that's eternal, and it draws you forward. And you just, right at the beginning, it's back to prayer. I've got to have him. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10, speaking of the Lord, says, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. There's something about these texts that grab you because you realize I'm on a journey and I can't do it alone. I can't make it alone. It wasn't that I just got saved and everything is wonderful. Getting saved is the introduction to the Lord and to the journey forward. Then I continue with that relationship in prayer and dependence. As the author of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author, the one that begins the journey, so to speak, and the one that brings it to fruition, the finisher of our faith, that's the Lord. The journey begins this morning. Prayer is the basis of the journey. Prayer begins the journey. Now, number three, look at the verse 5. Now, Christian, I said I would say something to you. I talked to my wife about this driving here this morning. I have quit talking about this in this church. And the reason I quit talking about it, everybody look up here. I had too many people that never could grasp the simple thing. The conversations you have with yourself is the only thing that matters. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you realize you have conversations with yourself? Do you know that you do? Now, if you bring Christy into your office, Christy, I should have asked for permission. Forgive me. If you bring her into your office and you know, to fix, she's always fixing problems for me. Christy is brilliant. I'll ask her a question. She'll be talking to me. And the next thing I know, she's still talking. But it ain't to me. She's talking. She's talking herself through problems. By the way, number three, I think this is the key of the Christian life. I'm not going to focus on it this morning. We're just going to talk about it. Look what it says in verse 5. The psalmist goes from talking about what God had done in the relationship he had in the past, and the whole basis of this journey is being able to pray, and then he moves forward to praying, and then he's like, what are you talking to yourself about? Woe is me that I sojourn, which means I'm passing through Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. So I say in your notes, the third part of this journey beginning is this prayer between you and God. Prayer between you and God. And I want to talk about the two nuances. Not just what he says, what he's praying about, but also what he's actually doing. As I read this text over and over, it kind of startles me. Look up here, friend. It's almost like, you know, you're moving forward and you're just kind of walking beside somebody and you're like, who are they talking to? Well, that's kind of what prayer is. Prayer oftentimes is those conversations that you have, hear me, with yourself and God, and sometimes they might be out loud. And the psalmist is coming back to the fact that, woe is, I don't really come from a good spot. I'm not starting in a good place. I have some difficulties here. There are some dilemmas here. But he's talking to himself and God about the problems. Now, I will say this to you. Every person who can solve problems, look at me. Every person who can solve problems, can I say it one more time? Every person who can solve problems talks to themselves. Not all of them do it out loud. By the way, he's not just talking to himself. He's talking to the Lord about his situation, about his problems. He's thinking through it. He's praying through it. He's meditating through it. So prayer is something that's between God and me. Other people might overhear. It's about his, may I say, it's about his weird circumstances or his weird situation. Mesech, friends, in the Bible, for you that were in Sunday school, Tico, you know where Mesech is? It's in between Caspian Sea, Black Sea, north, modern-day Ukraine. Okay? Did he live there? That's the point, that he didn't live there, but he felt like, and I'll get to it, I think he felt tension and pulling because he's trying to do what's right and follow the Lord and go to Jerusalem, but it's as if his dwelling place or his, he's kind of wandering through far north, and then it says the tents of Kedar. I think he is describing that he is being pulled in all kinds of directions. So his problems are not just problems out there with those bad people. His big problems in here. He feels tension as if he was living in a place that no Jewish person lived hardly at that time. Or he was living even down, the tents of Kedar would be down in the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. He was pulled in multiple directions at the same time. He obviously couldn't live in both places. Maybe he doesn't feel at home. He has experienced desires that are contradictory. Friend, you ever meet somebody who speaks the truth? Look, you ever meet somebody who's telling you the truth? This is what they'll tell you. I have a desire to follow Christ, and I have some other desires too. And this is what I tell you. Welcome to the Christian life. The Christian life is not some bed of ease that you just ascend to the Father. Glory, glory, glory. That's called lying. The Christian life actually is this. There's all kinds of tensions within us. And he's describing this as he speaks to the Lord about his life. and says, woe is me. Here I am beginning the journey, but I kind of feel pulled. I kind of feel weird, as if I'm living in the steppes of Ukraine and Russia, or I'm living in the desert of Saudi Arabia. That's weird. By the way, I think this is described in Romans chapter 7. If you want to turn there, you may. Romans 7, verse 18. I think the Apostle Paul describes this. I think the psalmist is using more poetic language to describe like living in two places at one time that's impossible. Paul's talking about it more internally. In verse 18 of Romans 7, Paul says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good things. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. He's being torn in many directions. Friend, here's the journey. We're beginning the journey. Where does it begin? It doesn't begin with the journey. It begins with prayer, meaning that I can pray. I have access to the Father. I have a relationship that will last forever. It then begins with continued prayer. And then it's prayer that's very internal, talking to myself, talking to the Lord, or how can I say it? How about this? Talking to myself, and the Lord overhears me saying, well, Lord, I want to do right. I want to go forward, but I have all of these temptations and problems. This week, or last week, it might have been last week, I read something. I rarely ever take anything down from the internet. I don't like Christian gobbledygook. This was not from a Christian. I want to read you something that I have nuanced slightly. And this gets to the heart of the matter of prayer. A man said this: the number of the people in the world, you're telling me it's 8 billion people? He says, in all of them, all 8 billion people have their own lives, their own names, their own birthdays, their own friends, their own feelings, their own language, their own looks, their own inside jokes, their own problems, their own victories, their own challenges, their own losses, their own taste, their own loves and likes. How is that possible? 8 billion different people? And then he says, I have never read a statement by a person that grabbed me because I have experienced this a couple times. He says, I have a hard time walking down the street and seeing another person. I want to read exactly what he said. I have a hard time walking down the street and seeing another person and realizing that other person's life is just as complex as my own, if not more so. How is it possible? 8 billion people. And I say to you, friend, the journey begins with that relationship and that I can pray. Or not begins, that's the basis. It begins with actually praying, and there's got to develop this thing where when you're talking to... Sorry, I'm going to quote myself. How many times have you heard me say, stop listening to yourself and preach to yourself? How many times? Only to have a woman that used to sit back here that would say every time I said this, well, that's just the way I am. By the way, you better get that conversation between you and yourself and God under control, because the journey is not going to make it, because you're going to be pulled in lots of directions, lots of problems. And here's the thing, I don't even know what the problems will be. Friends, Emily, Steve, back here, raise your hands. One lovely person, and then there's Steve. And Sparky, you, and Amy, at least the four of them, went to a funeral. A viewing, correct? You went to the viewing. By the way, look at me, please, of a young lady that sat right here in this church for 2 years. She taught in our school. She's a godly, very godly young lady, very smart young lady. We actually asked her to continue. We were going to transfer in, wanted to do advanced math because she's very smart, very godly, very good girl. I'm assuming you know this. Her husband committed suicide. So can I say this to you? If you're hanging around because you like the jokes or you like the food, you better get a life, because Christianity just changes constantly. You're going to be pulled in a thousand ways. And if you have no control and God is not in control of that conversation, the next thing that comes into your mind, you're this way, you're this way, you're this way. You have got to get that under control. The psalmist is saying that prayer between me and God, that's where the action is. So here I am, we're coming forth, and there's others going to join us. We're going to Jerusalem. Well, we're not going literally to Jerusalem today, but we are, come we that love the Lord. Yes, we're moving forward. You better understand that journey begins before the journey with a relationship with God. Prayer is the basis of the journey. It begins with prayer because you never get away from, I'm totally dependent on God. And it's that prayer between me and God. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for thee. Can I ask you, why does he care about you? I got a challenge for you. Have you ever been to Chicago and watched thousands of people walk past you? And friend, you've already told me, Moscow is much more dense, Philippines is much more dense, India is much more dense. And you just look at all those people and they all have a life, problems, difficulties, feelings, emotions, and to think he cares and knows each one. Wow! That prayer between me and God, or you and God. I'm going to move to the last idea. It's in verse 6 and 7, please. 6 and 7. Are you, by the way, can I ask you, are you with me? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Let me ask you, are we being serious here or are we playing? You see, that offends me for you to ask that question. Why? This ain't my first rodeo. Can I say this? There are people in this room that 10 years from now probably won't be in church because you never got a hold. The journey begins with that relationship. If you don't have that relationship with the Lord, stuff's going to happen and you're going to be off in la-la land, if you're even alive. Friend, then it comes to actually having a prayer life because you are totally dependent on God. Deliver me, O Lord. I mean, that's the next step. And then all of that internal conversation, stop listening to yourself, start preaching to yourself, start allowing God to speak to you through his word. It should be a circular kind of a thing. That is the nature of the journey. Number four is in verse 6 and 7. This is a weird, it's like you go one way, then you go a different direction, but I think I understand what he's saying. He says, my soul, meaning, you know, the very essence of who I am, hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace. My whole thing is peace, but we're not talking about flipping the peace sign. We're talking about something more profound. Actually, what he's talking about is having this relationship with God, which means all the blessings of God without any of the stupidity of sin. He says, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. I say in your notes, it's prayer, the basis of the journey. Prayer begins the journey. Prayer between you and God. And lastly, prayer about the nature of the journey. And I'd add a word to it, the very nature of the journey itself. Surprise, 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 surprise. Not everyone is going to be happy with you and the journey. Friends, you're going to find, here you are. By the way, all you want is this. You want to experience peace. What's peace? In the Bible, it has two parts. You just look at peace is really easy to describe. It's the absence of certain things. It's the presence of other things. Some things are absent. Some things are present. What's absent? Stupidity, destruction, weirdness, all of the effects of all of the horrors of sin. All you're looking for is a life that doesn't have any, it's absent from all of the consequences, the turmoil, the hatred of sin. And on the other side, what's present? The love of God, the peace of God, heaven, a relationship with God, a relationship with, so what's absent? What's present? And you say, why would anybody have a problem with that? I look at some of our young people. Not a lot of them here this morning. Can I say this? There's a reason why a lot of them are not here. Because you go out in the world, you're going to find out something. Look at me. The first step of the journey. Not everybody's real happy about your journey. He's saying, all I want is to experience God's peace. I don't want to I want to be absent from my life all the consequences and ugliness of sin. And I want to be present in my life all the blessings of God. That's peace. And my goodness, most people aren't for that. Most people are against that. Most people hate you. Welcome to the journey. Because it's prayer about the very nature of the journey itself. Two events, and I'm done this morning. 1976, I started out as an 18-year-old young man in a church where, look up here, five of us were going into the ministry. Got the number? And one other guy was also going. He did, Dr. Cropsey. Of those five guys, are you listening? The first guy, John Kelly, went into the ministry. He became a pastor out east. The fifth guy, me, went into the ministry. One guy hasn't been in church for nearly 50 years. He went to Bible college. Two of the other guys have been failures in almost every area of life. You say, why? Friends, this is what's going to happen. All you want to do, you say, all I want to do is live for the Lord, love God's people, move forward, contribute, you know, be part of this. And everybody else is saying, what? And you're saying, I want to be absent from my life all of the consequences of sin and ugliness, and I want to be present in my life, the blessings of God. And they're going, well, that's stupid. You're an idiot. You could smoke pot with me and you'd be fine. And you're attacked because why? The very nature of what God wants to do in your life will be opposed from everywhere. By the way, of those five guys, John Kelly, Tico, you don't know this. Some people here do. John Kelly died in 2003. He died as a pastor, one of the pastors in 2003, that very foolishly went into Iraq to distribute Bibles and was machine gunned to death. If some of you are old enough to remember 2003. The three guys in the middle, never made it to the ministry. One of them hadn't been in church. I tried to look him up. He was back in the taverns. You say, why? Because the very heartbeat of this text, we're in a journey. We sing a song. Here's the song. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne. The hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets before we reach the heavenly fields or walk the golden streets. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high. And the whole process, people are hating on what you're trying to do, which is nothing other than enjoy the blessings of God. My friend, the journey begins that you can pray you have a relationship. The basis, the beginning of it is you continue to pray. And then it's that secret prayer time between you and God. Listen, when you shut up listening to yourself, saying things like this, I can't do that. That's too hard. That's not the way I am. By the way, you're listening to your own lies. The moment you do this, I'm going to talk to the Lord about my problems. I do feel struggles. My struggles are weird. I feel like I'm living one place in the north and one place in the far. I'm pulled in all directions. That's okay. Welcome to the journey. And lastly, it's prayer about the very nature of the journey itself. Friend, I'm going to ask this question. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. Please look at me. I'm asking you a question. Do you have a relationship with the Lord? If you do not, you're not going to survive the journey. Friend, do you know how to pray? Friend, do you know how to silence? Listen, do you know how to silence all of your own dumb self-talk where you're criticizing everybody and negative to everybody and all of that stuff just keeps floating through? Can you shut that off? Can you actually talk and share with the Lord your burdens? Are you sure about the nature of this journey? I want the presence of all good things that God has for me and the absence of all the bad, and not everybody's going to be happy. That's just fine. Let the journey begin. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Seal it to our hearts. Beautiful text, the very beginning of the journey. Come we that love the Lord. And let our joys be known. This is not piosity. This is real world living. Living in the real journey of life. And yes, we are marching to Zion. There's a heavenly aspect to this. And there's a future aspect to this. And for the Jews at this time, there was a literal aspect. They were going up to Jerusalem. Father, help us to get on the journey. But if we're not saved, that's the first step. And if we are saved, getting that self-conversation under control. Quit listening to our whining and complaining and negativity and silliness and realizing the nature of the journey, that people will be opposed to the best things that could ever happen to you. Help us, Father, this morning, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. Men will come forward, please.